We're going into chapter 2. So, Titus 2, we'll read I don't know how far we'll get. We'll just dive right into it. I'm not sure how far we'll get. Let's start off with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for, again, the privilege to meet and study your word. As we continue in the book of Titus, we're praying for enlightenment as we read understanding to understand the purpose for the book of Titus and the doctrine that's in it as it applies to the body of Christ today. We thank you for all those here, Lord. Strengthen us as we read. Help our unbelief as we read the verses. And we just pray that the time spent here would be for your glory and for our edification. We pray for the body as a whole, and we pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. Lord, we just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we go for it, and with thanksgiving, amen. Okay, Titus 2. Let's, as we know from the last studies, that Titus is writing to, or Timothy is, or Paul is writing to Titus to set things in order at the local assembly, which was in location, or it's in disarray, right? That reminds me when you talk on the, we make calls and they'll ask you, like, what state are you in? And say, right now I'm a little disgruntled. Or like, no. So what state they're in disarray, but they were in Crete. But he was to set in order the things that were in Crete that were lacking. And the things that were lacking were the things that are lacking was the doctrine. And the doctrine is given by men, elders. That's, I say these things every time I make a statement, it makes me want to make another statement. Is when I said, you just say it in passing, but it's things that you don't maybe think about. Where he says, you are to ordain elders in every city. And I said, the elders are men. The very fact that the body of Christ and the geographical areas that we meet in, the fact that you know that it's in disarray, like Blake said, is that the elders now are what? Are you women? The elders now are women, not men. The bishops now are women, not men. That would, in Paul's day, you wouldn't write to them, and he would say to the elders at Crete, and it would be a woman. Today, we are so far away that not only is it acceptable, it's almost a standard.
Equal opportunity.
So think about in modern day Titus. If he has to go into a local assembly today and set things in order, he wouldn't make it long. Two Sundays, maybe? Three? At the most. Or as soon as they install him, he says, well, first thing we got to do is straighten out the leadership. Okay, Lisa, you're going to have to step down. What?
Because you're a woman.
Do you see how far off that is? How far off we are. So he writes and he says to set in order the things that are lacking. Matter of fact, we're not going to read all of that, but back to chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, etc., etc. Now, what's missing there, and I just noticed when I read it, is you can assume when he says the husband of one wife that it's a man. Right? Of course,
in today's vernacular.
Right, today, it's only today that a husband can be a woman. Right? Or a wife could be a man.
Or a man can have a baby.
So, but that's how far off we are. And verse 9, he says that they should be holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So there's opposition, just like there would be today. Verse 16, where we actually left off, he says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And it's shocking that when you make statements like that, that he has believers, professed believers in mind. He's not writing the people that are on the street. He's writing the people that are meeting in the local assembly there. So if you are faced with that type of, opposition, that's a big task, isn't it? So when he says set things in order, it's not like there were no things there that were out of place or out of order. In chapter 2, he says, there's the contrast, but speak thou, you do this, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There are some who did not listen to sound doctrine, did not speak sound doctrine. He said, but you, Titus, you speak the things that become sound doctrine. And then he starts to lay down the corrective action for that local assembly. And we were talking about sound doctrine last week. Sound doctrine, as a matter of fact, look at chapter 2, verse 2, he says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he talks about, and we're going to go through this, about the aged men. And he said that one of the things they have to be is sound in faith. Sound doctrine, sound in faith, which is doctrine is synonymous with faith. It's not just what they believe, it's the teaching that they believe. Sound doctrine, sound in faith, which promotes specific, right? Which gives you a sound speech. Which gives you a sound mind. He says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That is, the things that promote sound doctrine. The things that that are fitting for sound doctrine. That are aligned with sound doctrine. He said, speak those things. And here's what they are. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. He gives, these are, when he says aged men, same thing as elders. These are men, the older men, who are to be pillars in the church, in the assembly. He says, speak that they be sober. Excuse me, sober. That's not literally sober, like not under the influence of alcohol, but it's sound thinking, sober minded, maybe to make the decisions, a reasonable, logical decisions, sober. That's if you ever
serious.
If you ever been under the influence of alcohol, you know, usually people who are drunk, they don't make good decisions.
Well, Ephesians 5:8, when it starts, be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled. So he's contrasting, be filled with the Spirit. So I would think sobriety in this sense is your decisions are influenced by the written word and not throwing your own thoughts and opinions into the mix.
Right. That's she's referring to Ephesians 5, where he does say, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled by the Spirit. Now, that's not an emotional kind of thing. That's filled with Spirit is filled with understanding, which is being filled with sound doctrine.
Resource.
That's, you have to have sound doctrine. When he says walk in the Spirit, that's not some peculiar way that we are conducting ourselves. It's based on information. Walking in the Spirit is taking God's word, the sound doctrine, and when he says walking in it, you occupy your mind with it first, and then it affects your behavior. That's why it's important where the things that we take in, that we are careful about that. Where you think you can, and I'm deviating a little bit, you think that anything that you can take in and it has no effect on you, on your behavior.
Evil communication corrupted manners.
Especially teenagers. Where the things that, because they're impressionable. You think if you hear things and it affects you, what about a child or a teenager? We call it peer pressure. But that's the thing that you take for granted, that confirmation, being conformed to the world, is just as powerful as transformation, being transformed by the Word of God. Somebody is being fed every day, whether it's the old man with bad doctrine or the new man with sound doctrine. So if Paul says, you speak the things that become bad doctrine. Sound doctrine. He said, you speak the things that become sound doctrine, not the things that promote bad doctrine. And here it is, that the aged man be sober. And to finish that verse up, it says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He groups that with soberness. That's in Ephesians. He says, be sober, grave. And that's you know, gravity is, yeah, there's a guy that works at the plant. His name is Henderson. And he's a younger guy. He's younger than me. I've been seeing him for like two and a half years. And every time I ride through the guard shack, it's the same, how you doing, sir? Good morning, sir. Here's your car, sir. I say, Henderson, come on, man. It's like, you see me every day. Stop doing that. It's like, doing what, sir? That. Stop doing that. And he said, I'm just giving you your plaque, sir. I'm just doing my job, sir. It's like, all right, okay, Henderson, have a nice day. Thank you, sir, you too. Every day he does it. I don't care how I come at him, he'll do that. But he's grave. He's treating his job with gravity. I'm not here to play with you. I'm not here to socialize. I'm here to guard this guard shack. And when I thought about that, that's what I thought of is, why should I be mad with the man for doing his job? He's a faithful steward of the guard shack. So when I ride in now, you know what I do? I say, "Hey, Henderson, how you doing?" And he said, "Fine, sir." I say, "What's for lunch, Henderson?" "Haven't had lunch yet, sir." It's like, "All right, Henderson. Have a nice day. You too, sir." But I can appreciate his response. Now, I may get him outside the guard shack and he'd be a totally different person. Well, when Paul's writing to the elder, as he's functioning in the local assembly, he must be sober, he must be grave, or serious. Like Jenny said, this is a serious position. And you can't go into a job with I just thought about Lisa, where if you're in surgery and you have a guy in there cracking jokes, and this man is ready to have open heart surgery, and he's, "I hope I got the right tool here." That's a person that you're like, wait a minute. If you don't want him in there,
not serious,
and not considering the gravity of the matter. Now, edification, it's a grave matter. Being an overseer over people in a local assembly in charge of their edification is a grave matter.
I think it would also include like not cutting corners or being very purposeful, deliberate.
Yeah, that's because if you have instructions, you want to follow them. You don't want to skip steps, especially if you know by whom, like Paul said, knowing whom you have received it from. You don't want to skip steps with that. He says grave, temperate. That's where we get temperature from. It's balanced, temperate. Sound in faith. That is in his belief system. Sound in faith. In charity. In patience.
When you said balance, I thought about the lesson with the fish and the fins and the scales, the balance. That's the same one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, these object lesson that not, you can see the qualifications for an overseer. And this is, he said, the aged men. And what they're doing is outlining a pattern, the sound doctrine, that becomes sound doctrine, that demonstrates sound doctrine. When you can look at an aged man and you see what the doctrine is supposed to promote, as in chapter 1, it's supposed to promote
godliness.
Yes, it's supposed to promote godliness. And when you see it working, he says, this is what it looks like. And the aged man, he says, this is, you teach them this.
Turning to the image.
Yes. I wasn't going to say that, but you're right. And they're all, the doctrine is designed to transform believers into the image of his son. Yes. To teach them how to properly worship and serve God in this day. That Christ would be magnified in our lives. Now, you can, if you've ever been in, and I know you have, you've been in assemblies where you see the opposite. You can see the opposite at work, where you see the deacon or the overseer who all he does is joke. Or you see the aged man who is not sound in faith, or who is not sound in charity or patience. Haven't you seen that? It may be us in one of those areas. He says, you still speak these things that promote it, sound doctrine. The aged women likewise, verse 3, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. There you got, here the aged women. Likewise, that picks up the previous verse too. And he says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That is, well, holy, separated. That's older women now are younger women. Like '60s, the new 40. What's the latest phrase now? 40s the new 60, or one of those. 60s the new 40.
Yeah.
What are they really saying? Is I'm still young, and I'm going to do what young people do. I'm going to go where young people go. I'm going to act like young people act, even though I'm, what they say, 39 and holding. an older woman obviously can't be like a younger woman, only in her mind.
Not even then.
Now, he's setting the stage down, because people are pillars. When I say pillars, they support the local assembly. When you come in, you support the local assembly. We support whatever we come in, the wholesomeness of us, or the wholeness of us, which comes by sound doctrine. The sound doctrine gives us the nourishment to make us whole. Sound is, I went to the dentist last week, and I had a toothache, and it got worse and worse, and I knew there was something wrong. I couldn't use it. I couldn't bite down on anything without pain. So I knew that the function of my molar was done. So I go into the dentist, and they says, the crown is coming off. So underneath that, you know what's underneath that?
A nerve.
A nerve, yeah. And it's the sense of, should be dead, but the sensitivity of it is, it has been exposed, so I couldn't use it. But sound doctrine is kind of what we talk about. It insulates you from the outside effects. That's how you know you're functioning properly, is when you're able to, having done all, to stand. And this, you're being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You take that doctrine, that sound doctrine, and you put it on, and it protects you against the attacks that are coming against the things that God wants, how he wants you to function as a father, an employee, as a husband, as a citizen. The sound doctrine. He says, this is what the aged men are there for. This is what the aged women are there for. He says, verse 3, as becometh holiness, not false accusers. You know, that's interesting. You know, that's the same word they use for devil. He tells the old women, don't be a devil or slanderer. And I'm not talking about anybody in here, but from experience, there's no way, I don't know of a faster way that you can get a bad reputation than from a group of women. Not you all.
Word travels fast.
That's because they know they. The old joke is, if you want to get something out, you know what? Telephone, telegraph, tell a woman, and then next thing you know, it's. Poof. Do you know, brother, so and so, and then woof, it's all over town. You didn't see it. You don't know. That's just what I heard. Like the commercial on TV where I don't even know what it says. No, I'm breaking up with you or something like that. And the little chipmunks in the cubicle, she's breaking up. They're breaking up with each other. You never seen that commercial?
No.
No? I never really looked at it. I just saw the little...
I think it's a Geico.
Yeah.
Geico with the little chipmunks just pop up. And they're breaking up. See? They're breaking up with each other. But anyway, that's... Just the effect of it, but it was the. That's what. That's what the silly women chipmunks. But the concept is what I'm after. Is this the slanderer is to discredit the character of the man or woman, and it's you don't know if the proof is there.
Out in our country,
it's well, right. It's but we can't. You can't expect unbelievers to be held to a standard that what God wants. Again, we're talking about God's people. We're not talking about people outside.
It was just unsaved. It was just an example.
Yeah. No. I mean,
the devastation of that behavior.
Right.
Not saying that one way or the other was.
Right. But again, he said, you speak to the aged women, and this is what he's asking, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And there's a colon there, which means he's going to tell you what these good things are. Teachers of good things. Why would an aged woman not teach good things? To the young women.
She doesn't know anything. She's not been taught.
She hasn't been taught, or she doesn't know any better. Or she's not walking charitably. He says, verse 4, teach them, he says, teachers of good things that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. He gives those things right there. And he says, the older women are to teach the younger women these things. To pass it down. Now, the principle is there. Now, maybe you remember this back in a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about, first, hold your hand there and look at 1 Timothy. Just for a minute. 1 Timothy, verse 4. Or chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. verse. I'm just looking at this. I'm just going to jump through here for one thing. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from what?"
The faith.
Not faith, the faith. Which is sound doctrine. And then when they do, he says, verse 2, keeping with verse 1, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now verse 6, he tells Timothy, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 11, he says, these things, sound doctrine, command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue what? In them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's the same way, a same situation where Paul is given to Titus when he says the older age men and age women, when he's given them the sound doctrine, he's expecting them to continue in them, and that can save themselves and them that hear them. That's not... Huh?
From error.
From error, right. Okay. That's not the one I wanted, but I was stopping there. What I want is verse 2, chapter 2, verse 15. And then we'll go back to Titus. I'm going to pick up at verse 10. He says, verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding. That takes you back to the previous verse and verses. Something happened. Something went wrong. What went wrong? Got out of order.
Eve usurped Adam's role.
Okay, that went wrong. What happened after that?
Well, they started asking questions in the
sanctuary. Right? That's way back there. Way back in Genesis. Something went wrong. What happened after that? She usurped.
Something else she usurped?
I said, what happened after she usurped?
Well, they were...
Well, you usurped. Did everybody know?
The image was marred.
Usurp, let me say this. Usurp means to take of something by force that does not belong to you. In this case, it was the headship, the position of leader. So you, when you
kids.
Say what?
He has to have kids.
Yeah, okay, that was part of it. Yeah, that's that's right. Well, he said in sorrow, because that part of it was the beginning, was her design was for to have children. But he said now he's going to be in sorrow as a reminder. That's did it hurt when you had? Did it hurt when you had a baby? I remember one girl, she told me, she said, "You ever had a Charlie horse?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, multiply that by like 100 times." That's what it felt like. I was like, I can't even grasp that. But what happened after that was the curse came on them, and part of that curse was they were put out of the garden. They were put out from God's
original
plan and purpose.
Presence.
I was going to say right. They were expelled from the glory of God. And so their function, their original design as co-rulers, if I can use that term, co-regents, was lost. And you think this is when Paul is here and he's correcting this issue, he says, notwithstanding, verse 15, back to Timothy, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. So she won't die?
What does that mean? She shall be saved in childbearing.
We're getting ready to find out right now. She said, what does that mean? She said, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now, all salvation doesn't mean like soul salvation. We just read a verse that says, continue in the doctrine, take heed to it. He says, and give thyself wholly to it. Right? He says, give thyself wholly to this doctrine, that thy profiting, he said, may appear to all. And you can save yourself and them that hear thee. And you said, save yourself, what do you mean?
From error
and the effects of it. So if he's telling the woman, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing.
Can I mean like the purpose is saved?
No, it's not salvation.
You know it's not salvation. You know it's not soul
right.
Salvation, right? She shall be saved in childbearing.
She's
restoring the role.
So, slow down. He says in Timothy, he says, take heed to the what?
Doctrine.
To the doctrine. He says, and continue in the doctrine, right? For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Right? So, the first thing, if you want to save someone, we're not talking about being saved from the lake of fire. We're talking about saved from what?
Error.
From error. Error comes from bad doctrine, right? So if you want to be saved from bad doctrine and its effects, he says you have to listen to good doctrine. And then give yourself to the good doctrine. Okay. What's the bad doctrine? What was the good doctrine in the garden?
The good doctrine was that every tree is good for you.
Okay.
But this one.
We passed the tree. What else do you? What else do you?
Fruitful and multiply.
Right. Right.
Do.
Right. We just read a verse. All right. Watch. Listen. Listen to this. We don't get hung up here. But he says. He says. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why you say that, Paul? You just don't like women. I knew it.
Misogynist.
And he says, for. This is why I'm saying that, ladies. For Adam was first formed. Then Eve. Now, when Paul made Adam, he put him in charge, right?
Paul made him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He didn't have anything to do with that, did he? Who did it? So God, when Paul, he's quoting what? He's quoting God. So if you got a problem with this, you got a problem, take it up with the man who made you. Not me. So, he says, so, when Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's why I'm telling you, ladies, that I can't let you. I can't let you, ladies, what?
Usurp.
Usurp? How would you do that? Okay, not just teach, lead, not just lead.
Be an elder.
Say it again.
Be an elder.
Okay, that's right. I can't let you. The main thing is.
Authority.
Take authority over who?
Man.
Over him. I can't let you be over him. Right?
Right. It's out of order.
Now, it's out of order. So then he goes back, he said this. Now, notwithstanding, I know what happened. I know what your mother did. When I say your mother, I mean Eve. I know what your mother did. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Okay. Who's the subject? But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man. But he says, nevertheless, notwithstanding, they shall be saved in childbearing.
No, she shall be saved.
Okay, she, who is she?
The helpmeet.
The woman. Y'all don't be scared. Just right there.
What's
going on right here? I know, right? That's what I said. It's right. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they.
Amen.
If they continue in faith, what?
Charity
and holiness with sobriety. Well, we know what that is, right? You can all, that's doctrine. Faith, whatever, what's the doctrine that they should continue in?
Truth.
Sound doctrine. These
which,
things.
what would be these things in her case?
Order.
That she has to recognize what?
The doctrine.
The doctrine, the order, the doctrine of the order, which is? The man.
Bailers.
The man. The man. First. The man is the what?
Leader.
The leader. The man is the what?
Elder.
Head.
Supposed to have children.
Now, well, that's why he said they.
I think we're scared to say.
I know.
Woman kind. He's not just got a specific woman in mind. He's talking about women. He said, nevertheless, they shall be saved. She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith in and charity.
Hang on a minute. Sharon's question wasn't answered, and I'm assuming it's the broad. There's women that can't have children, but that doesn't mean that they don't exercise assistance or whatever in that role. Right? Doesn't mean she literally has to bear a child.
Right, right. Well, I said woman. That's why I said woman, womankind.
Yeah, he answered it when he said
woman. Oh, okay.
That's I thought so. That's
okay. Well, maybe I'm the one that was just.
But that's if it's need clarification, that's fine. But if they continue in faith, and charity, and holiness, with sobriety, that's and basically it's he's not talking to unsaved women. He's talking about those who profess, like he said, that's professing godliness. You're telling me that you want to do it the right way, right? Okay. Then he gives you the order. And you say, well, we didn't do that in my house. My mother ran the house. So that's, but that doesn't make it right. Does it? That doesn't make it right, does it?
No.
Y'all really are scared. So, now, if you want to, and it may have gotten you by. But that doesn't mean that that's what God wanted. So, there's a lot of women that had to be the head and are head of houses.
So true.
And you know what? I'll tell you a secret. It may not be a secret. They don't want to be.
In a lot of that cases, it's like, it's what God wanted, but it's like if the man failed his part, the whole thing collapses. So it's not like it's her fault for taking over.
It's his fault for giving it up.
Yeah.
Because in the garden, what did God say? Adam, where art thou?
That's right.
So the wife is going, honey, where are you?
Right. And he said, you know what? I failed.
Exactly.
No, he didn't.
He sure didn't. He said,
he said, you know what?
It's the woman you gave me. So really, who is he blaming, really?
Yeah,
right. And then he says, okay, what did you do? And she said, you know what? I messed up. You're right.
That's serpent.
And she said, what?
That's serpent.
No, it's the serpent. He didn't even ask the serpent because that's his job. Is to destroy what God had put together. So that's his job. That's my job, sir. Right. So he knows. And that's where, that's why he says, nevertheless, they shall be saved if they continue. So when you go here, wow, when you go here, here's the garden right here. All right. This is God. That's Adam. There's Eve right there. Every day they met.
Fellowship.
They fellowship together. You know, what do you think they were getting? thing they talked about, it's really nice weather in the garden today, isn't it? Sure. They were getting instruction. They were getting what? Sound doctrine. Yes, they were getting sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. They were getting these things. They were getting nourishing words. Wholesome words. Right? And they were to function in those words. Part of that word was, I am your head. He is your head. Right? Okay. Got it? Sure. That's good. Everybody on the same? Yes. So, here comes the adversary, and he says, like the commercial. He says, you got doctrine? And they said, yeah, let me hear it. He said, well, we can eat whatever we want to eat except this. So he questions, he gives them some different doctrine, which is not the wholesome words, which is not the sound words, right? And then their responsibility should have been, no, he didn't, right? It should have been to reject it. But because she said, you know what? It makes sense to me. He's not. That makes sense to me. It looks right. It sounds right. And so she did. She took it and she ate it and she gave to her husband also with her. They both blew it, right? Now, and like Karen said, after they fail, then after a while, they get a son. After the other two are out of order, they get a son in what?
In their own image.
Guess what he's functioning on? He's functioning on the other doctrine. They're no more in the garden. Right? He says, you don't have to leave, but you can't stay here. So now, back to Timothy. He says, nevertheless, he says, they shall be saved if they continue in faith, sobriety, holiness, which sobriety is the sound thinking, the proper motive, the proper doctrine. It'll save you. If you continue, right? If you continue in it. And just keep this in mind too, is in Timothy, he's writing to Timothy to do the same thing that Titus is doing, is to set things back in order in the local assembly. So when Timothy gets there, and just suppose this hypothetically, Timothy gets there and God says, well, what's going on there? And he said, the women are teaching. And he said, teaching where? In the local assembly. What should I do? Oh, it's okay, Timothy. That's the way it's supposed to be. Don't worry about it. Just let them go. He says, wait. He says, no. He says, I can't let that go on, Timothy. Why not, Paul? You don't like the women? No. And he takes them back to the order, the way it's supposed to be. So, here's the deal, to wrap this up, is the way you fix that, back to Titus,
add one more thing to what you raised it, but I think, and this is real important, she gave equal weight to the serpent's doctrine. Therefore, hey, whatever works for you. Your truth is not my truth. Truth relative. Which, you know, we see that playing out today.
Right. Because there's some women who know the order, and then there's some women who read over it.
Which is what we talked about last week, about pure versus defiled and unbelieving.
Right.
When it's given to you, you don't have an excuse anymore.
I'm glad you remember that. See, they go together. It just spaced out. So he says, Titus, he says, the older women are to teach the young women these good things. Teach them to love their husbands, to love their children. You think that would part of loving your husband would be back in the garden? The instruction that should be? You think that would be part of it? Where they would go back to the garden and say, you should be, as a younger woman, you should be, when you say love your husbands, part of that is being subject to them.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just listening for the lady's comment. That's just got quiet. That's all. That's one vote. I got one. But I understand you just taking it in. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be chaste, discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So see, the minute you feel that usurping feeling, the minute you feel that, who was that just wrote that song? You lost that loving feeling. Who was that?
The Righteous Brothers.
Yeah, that's he said, the minute you start feeling that usurping feeling, is you have to find some doctrine, or you have to have the doctrine that's there that'll save you. It'll save you. Save me from what?
Being out of order.
Error.
From error, being out of order. Guess what happens when it goes down? It literally goes down. An older man, he said this. He said, if a man can't run his house, he'll ruin it. And there's, as a man, there's a lot of ways that you can ruin it. You can walk away like Adam did, or whatever, shirk the responsibility. But we got a lot of ways we can ruin it, right? But what else, you know what? The only way that it'll save us is to get back to the sound doctrine.
Take heed.
So the way you save the younger women is the older women, they sit down and they teach them those things. Right?
Mm-hmm. You can't teach them
things. You can. That's, you know what? And that's, they're too far gone, but you know what? That's part of the responsibility as a steward. As a God said, I'm trusting you with this. Do it anyway. He said, they don't want to hear that. He said, just do it.
It when you think about it, the way the scriptures read, it says, teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands and love their wives, tells me that doesn't come natural.
It doesn't come natural. You know what? And my wife's not here to defend herself, but this was a long time ago. We were having a discussion. We were in the kitchen. And I said, you know, the scripture says that you have to be taught how to love me. And she said, well, I don't believe that. And I said, the problem is with us is we let the world tell us what love means.
We've redefined it.
See, it's for us, it's a feeling. I wake up, I'm in love with you. Or next week, I don't feel like I'm in love with you. And you have to say, well, we want to separate. And why? Well, I'm not in love with him anymore. If you took that to God, he would say, what does that mean? This in love thing. What is this? What's this? What is this new term that you
made up?
I don't understand that. You didn't get that from me. So you teach them. He said you have to teach them what it is. Believest thou this? Don't try that. And likewise, the young men. Of course, I'm gonna save that for next week because that's on us.
So are you saying if you don't appear to sound doctrine, then that's blasphemy?
That's right. Sure. Blasphemy is just taking what God said and speaking against it. Because they'll tell you now what God wants. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? My husband's the head of the house. Who talks like that anyway? Anymore? Huh?
What century were you born in?
So, naturally, the attack at first is on the doctrine. And then, if you heed to it, that's when you fall out. And when you fall, you can't fall out with him until you fall out with God. So, again, think about this now. Here's Titus going into this assembly with believers. And he looks at it, this is what we have to fix. He said, wow. Really? Yeah. This is it.
God restored the foundation to build upon it.
So if the local assembly is the pillar and ground of the truth, and you looking around to build on it, and you see that all the material is worthless. That would be us. And the only way to restore it is to give them the proper doctrine that will restore them to their proper use. I'm going to read one verse and then we're done. This is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4:15. Well, not one verse, but one passage. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. In all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, watch this, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, we're all parts. Whether it starts in the home or if it's in the local assembly, the way it grows is if you're working effectually. And the only way you're working effectually is the according to the measure that you're taking in. The measure of what, you say?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. That's why he says in the next verse, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that now you can't stop, you can't keep walking like you used to walk. You can't keep thinking like you used to think." Well, that's not what he said, but he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves..." Seared, thank you. "Who has given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." You know what? I'm going to stop there because I will keep going all the way to the other verses. But you can see that the doctrine is important, the sound doctrine. And if we don't put it on, it never gets righted. So you might see, think about how many local assemblies that are here.
It's like pouring concrete with no rebar. You're doing it without the necessary components, and you have a faulty building.
Yes. So anyway, that's we're past, way past time. Thank you for the long suffering. So let's close out. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that as we meditate on these things, Lord, that you might impress upon us the importance of sound doctrine and how it fits in our lives as believers. We thank you again for this time. We thank you for the members here. And we thank you for your word and your son, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.